What's going on, everyone? Y'all know what time it is. It is time for the EG3 show right here on kcsportsradio.com and JPEG Sports Network. Eddie Greer in the house for the EG3 show. For those of you just tuning in here for the first time deep into this season or have been a regular listening, you know, I think the regular listeners out there, including our new listeners and EG3 shows, all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of NASCAR. We got the lowdown on Charlotte. Xfinity Series playoff field has been cut to 8. A familiar face back in Victory Lane, the Cup Series. And later, towards the end of today's show, Trucks Elimination Race at Talladega. And of course, the Talladega preview towards the end of the show before we say adios at the end of the hour. Eddie Greer for the EG3 show. Let's dive right on into this, shall we? Starting with the Cup Series, and weather played a huge factor in this deal. With rain in the area last weekend, it was supposed to rain, but the rain held off. Of course, it rained in the Xfinity Series, which pushed the Xfinity Series race back to prime time. Again, that's going to be right around the middle of the show, second half of the show. But of course, back to the Cup side, for the second time in these playoffs, the mile and a half king, or close to it anyway, Martin Truex Jr., your winner of the Bank of America 500. And of course, the R&D Center, NASCAR went ahead and expected the top three finishers, which was the 78 of Truex, 24 of Elliott, and the 4 car of Kevin Harvick. All three of those guys did pass tech. So A's across the board, but an A plus to Martin Truex Jr. again. How many times have I said his name? Pretty much the whole entire world of NASCAR world, I've said his name. My guy getting it done once again, but it was not a coast, if you will. This probably was the more challenging races of all. And I said this possibly on the podcast last week that Charlotte, or have I told someone this, Charlotte is a lot more different mile and a half track on the circuit than any other tracks, including Kansas, which will be, we will be there next week, pump for that. But again, Charlotte with the temps and all that, and then you add this PJ1 stuff. I almost want to say PB&J for what it's worth, but the PJ1, which is supposed to hold, what from what I'm understanding, is trying to provide better race and try to provide more grip with that stuff so people can go up there and be a little bit more racy than we have. But quite honestly, we've seen quite a bit of exciting racing this year, to be honest. I mean, yes, you have the 78 on another level this year, and could very well be in discussion when we get to Homestead here. Of course, the 42, the 18, those guys have been a class of their own. But here lately, though, a developing story here in these playoffs, another tier drivers have come out of the woodworks here. I'll mention them momentarily, but man, Truex, Pern, Cole Pern, the crew chief for this car, this whole entire organization, who is going to be back down to one car, of course, next year, with focusing on the Truex car. Of course, Eric Jones going over to Joe Gibbs next year. This is going to be a whole different podcast on why Joe Gibbs might have stepped over the lines a little bit. It's with Eric Jones going over, making virtual open that second team and then shutting it back down to one. I don't understand that, but hey, that's going to be possibly another podcast here down the road on the EG3 show right here on kcsportsradio.com, Eddie Greenhouse. But Truex started from 17th position, and this team, it's been rare that I had to include not in the ballpark with this team, especially on the Mount Aves. They did not get the best qualifying effort on Thursday evening. Yeah, they were way off, and then they were kind of off to start the race as well, kind of in the ballpark, but kind of out there a little bit in left center field, not quite just center yet. Kept working on it, and then stage three comes along, and then they were right there in the mix. Kind of does remind me a little bit of this Jimmy Johnson X run that he has been on himself. Jimmy Johnson going for 8 championships, obviously, but hasn't gotten that extra gear quite yet, in my opinion, even though, yes, they finished Dover in the top 3, but a penalty that they late in this race for that team, but somehow managed to finish it in the top 10 still for that team. But this 48 team is nowhere close to the 78, and you probably, again, associate Truex and the gang with the 42 of Larson. Larson was in the mix also for this win, but pit crews falling down on the back end cost them an opportunity. Of course, pretty much pit crews was kind of the subplot as well in this race as well. The 78 team, the pit crew, which I have bashed on my Twitter feed in the past, they came up huge in this instance, gaining 4, 6. One of those pit stops gained like 8 positions, and then these guys were spot on, even though second to last pit stop. I'm all over the board, but this is the shot that we saw last weekend. As we get down closer and closer to the final four, these guys, the four car also had its issues in the last pit stop as well. Kind of cost Harvick an opportunity to win. But again, Kevin Harvick was right there. He was there at Chicago. Ran in the top 5 throughout most of the day and did the same thing. Kevin Harvick was the dominant car. No offense to Truex, obviously, won the race, and he led stagger laps and self when it mattered the most. But Harvick was the dominant car, and I thought for quite a while, especially toward the end of the race, Harvick was going to catch Truex. But the different lines that those two ran proved to be the difference, and even the final caution coming out there, Chase Elliott couldn't run him down. But Chase Elliott off to a tremendous start in the postseason. He and Harvick are in that second tier right there. And I just got a feeling that Chase Elliott is going to get the win, get a victory in these playoffs, which could possibly propel him to the round of 8, and possibly if he can continue this pace of run-up finishes like a Kyle Larson-ish, he could be right there for a homestead here pretty soon. We've seen upsets before, and that will screw the whole playoff picture in the shambles. But I didn't have Elliott, to be honest, going past this round based off the performance, especially late in the regular season. But the 24 team, in my opinion, has a leg up on this 48 team. And he is confident going into Talladega, which is where we're going next, which could really jumble up this playoff picture right now. Heading to Kansas, where we're going to see an elimination elimination race for the first time. Of course, at this time last year, we were getting ready to go to Kansas, but this year the date switched. Talladega in Kansas. Talladega is the sandwich, either really, really good or really, really nasty for a lot of these competitors and a lot of big names, better be careful. I mean, we saw Keselowski and Truex last year blow engines, didn't have much of a cushion, blow engines. Of course, Keselowski very late in the going, Truex early in the race, that knocked him out of contention. But it's a whole 180 this year. Truex don't have to worry about none about that. He can just go out there and have some fun and maybe finish this race on the lead lap instead of wrecking. This is clearly the 7/8 worst racetrack, if all. But of course, the Keselowski strong, and really the whole Ford camp has been strong as well. And then, of course, you can't forget about Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who rallied back for a decent finish. But this is all in or nothing for that 17 bunch. I mean, everybody's saying Ricky Stenhouse Jr. has the opportunity to take a spot away from a championship contender and try to make some noise in the round of eight. But if he doesn't get it done here, he's most likely done in my book. He said he was in the post race that, you know, we have some ideas for Kansas, but top of that, you know, you gotta worry about Talladega, which obviously we all know we can do. I've said this repeatedly for weeks about Stenhouse since the playoffs started. Now, Talladega is his only chance to win a race in these playoffs. He's gonna have Hail Marys, not necessarily Hail Marys, but really to dig deep if he's gonna even try to make a big time run at Homestead in Miami. But the 17 bunch, this is their shot, and possibly their only shot to win, along with really 38 others. And I'm not counting Truex because he is in no matter where he finishes, regardless. Passing Tech, like I keep talking about, he passed Tech, won the race, passed Tech, and now he can just go out there and have some fun. Hopefully, actually finish. So that's what I'm looking for from him. But the rest of the playoff bunch, they're going to have their work cut out. And Chase Elliott, I believe, he was running second in the spring, and then he got caught up in a mess of his undoing thanks to Adrian Allmendinger turning Elliott, who's possibly running in the second position, and all hell broke loose right there. So nowhere is safe to hide at Talladega. Probably the second monster to the actual monster, but huge unknown going into this weekend, beginning, I believe, over the weekend, not Friday. But Saturday, there's going to be a lot of activity. I think Friday is supposed to be all practices, and then Saturday's qualifying. They've been doing that for the last year and a half or so there, changing some things around. And then, of course, the trucks had their elimination race, which nobody's safe there except for Ben Rhodes and Christopher Bell, the two winners in the opening round. They'll have a chance to kind of relax a little bit before heading into their next round. But, of course, we still have to set for other drivers, six drivers still have to race for four spots. So we could possibly see a favorite go down on Saturday, and of course a couple others on Sunday. You know, the big wreck, big one, could happen, very well happen. It happens nearly every time, maybe for exception for maybe once in this format, going back to probably 2015, there was a couple accidents at the end, but no damage done. But you gotta wonder a little bit going into this race, you know, what the situations with Kenseth just being out. We're gonna get to the bottom four here in a little while, but a lot of guys better be careful here, because you can't control what other drivers can control. If we can all do that, then everybody would avoid the big one. Let's just face it right now. If everyone is control their own doing, everyone plays nice, then we don't have the big one. But 95% of the time, you're going to see it, and it's most likely right now And we're definitely going to see it. It's just a matter of when we're going to see it. How that shakes out. You know the action is going to be intense. Things like that. And these playoff drivers have to contend with all the other cars who are going to be pretty much in contention to win this race. Anybody can win this race. You know, not just these playoff guys. I mean, at least in this format, we've seen the playoff guys, the playoff drivers win races like the Loganos, who had Joey Logano, who is not even in the postseason this year, can certainly shake it up. Clint Bowyer, he could probably win this race. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is my wild card coming into this weekend. All the obvious wild card. Why not? Because he is the king, and this is going to be the last time we're going to see him at Talladega, and he needs to win in the most worst possible way, and what a perfect time to get it at Talladega. But let me backtrack a little bit to the Bank of America 500 EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com, 80 Greenhouse. I talked about Chase Elliott, who finished in a second spot. He has been on a roll the first four races, he's finished in a runner-up position. Incredible. I told you he would bounce back, and he did it. And this guy's really on the edge. We keep saying it, on the edge of winning a race. And that, it could happen anytime now. It could happen right here this weekend. He's been one of the more stronger Chevrolets. Obviously, we talked about Kyle Larson being the strongest Chevrolet, but Chase Elliott is making a lot of noise in this playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in victory lane and moving on into the round of eight. He has a lot of mojo right now. Harvick as well, strategically getting a job done as well. I mean, had a dominant car who couldn't get it done, but finish in the podium position in third spot. Denny Hamlin finished fourth. A quiet fourth, to be honest, but a fourth and kind of a sleeper that I really like. Jimmy McMurray, he said after Dover, he likes these three tracks. And Jimmy McMurray was a big player last weekend at Charlotte. What a run. Fifth, and he's in right now. He ain't won no wins yet this year. Not even a stage win all year long. And kind of Ryan Newman-ish right here. Jimmy McMurray getting the job done. And he's going to be also a player coming into Talladega. He's won here before. And also pretty good at restricted place. Now, everybody's focusing on Ricky Stenhouse and all this other stuff. Better start paying attention to this one car. I mean, this is the teammate of Kyle Larson's. Jimmy McMurray, he started off hot this season, but kind of cooled off a little bit. But he's been Mr. Consistent here. And then this is what that team needed, a solid finish. And got more than that, a fifth place finish and a big threat here. Maybe second tier to Chase Elliott, leading the non-playoff drivers in the top 10 from the Bank of America 500. Daniel Suarez finished sixth. Great one for him. Talk about Jimmy Johnson a while ago. Seventh and caught a big break, in my opinion. Didn't get penalized, but the pit crew of the 48 stumbled on their own toes. So Scott Miller said that was the penalty. They lost a bunch of positions, but still the 48. To me, Chase Elliott is outperforming the 48 right now. And I didn't have the 48 going past this round, so maybe Talladega might help that out or not, because we're going to see some intense racing, especially with the stages. Again, I'll explain more when we close the podcast here this afternoon. Ryan Blaney, an 8th place finish. Casey Kane, 9th. Kyle Larson, 10th. Kyle Larson, who was in prime position to win the race in the pit crew, lost it for him there. And quite again, with the sound bites, Kyle Larson said that they were better than the 78. And they were. I agree with them on that. But he was right on this too. They executed better. And why not? The 78 in stage three, they're one of the more faster cars on the racetrack, and Kyle Larson was dead on the money. They simply out-executed them to a T, and that's what's going to take to win a championship. It's just not having pure speed. You're going to have the pit crew come down and win it for you. It's going to come down to the final pit stop at Homestead. I probably, if I were a betting man, I would probably bet it right now. But I'm not going to actually do it. But if I were, I'd probably put some money on the table, because likely or not, we've seen final pit stops with less than 20 to go at Homestead in the last three championship races. It's going down to team effort, and that's what the 78 team did on Sunday. They worked well as a team, and they got positions on pit road. Mark Truex Jr., very, very patient. Well, probably not patient at the beginning of this race, but kind of methodically moving along as the race goes on. A lot of laps to get your car adjusted to the racetrack, and at the same time, you know, getting ready for those pit stops, getting fast pit stops and whatnot. This could be huge moving on forward, as obviously the 78 team will be one of the cars in the Elite Eight going for a spot, for a Final Four spot at Homestead in a couple weeks when we reach Martinsville. So it's just not about pure speed. Everything, football team, NFL, college, football, NBA, maybe it's not. Major League Baseball, the Yankees are a perfect example of that. Rallying from two games to none to knock off the defending American League champs, Cleveland Indians. They're out. And at this rate, we're probably not going to see the two participants from the World Series from last year. The Cleveland Indians and the Chicago Cubs went down to seven games in a fantastic Game 7. Indians were eliminated last night at home. Cubs couldn't get it done last night. And now the series is tied at two going back to Washington. Sorry, I'm on a roll with baseball at the moment. But a perfect example. Team sport and a 7-8 team. The team of the regular season champions this year, showing why they are a threat, an absolute threat now, to get to Miami. You're listening to the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com, rolling along, recording on this Thursday in second week of October, I believe it is, on October 12th. Yes, so again, you have the whole team dynamic, great team, great owners, and that's why I told somebody this, a couple of my friends, this a few weeks back. If the Truex ever got out of this round, he would have a tremendous chance to get to Homestead. And now, with an automatic berth via win, immunity, free immunity, he has the opportunity to get to Homestead now. He's a win away pretty much from doing it. And of course, the bonus points, 5. He didn't even win a stage. Not even getting stage points in stage one and still wins the race. Now, a mind-blowing 64 playoff points ticketed to the round of 8. We still have, obviously, Talladega Sunday and KC next weekend to possibly get maybe one or possibly another win. So this 6 wins of the year for Martin Truex, 5 of the 6 of those, 1.5 miles. So I have a number on Truex at the end of the podcast here today. Rest of the playoffs, drivers, round of 12 drivers, will go around here real fast before we take our first break of the afternoon. Matt Kenseth, not a very good run here, but finished in 11th, and it's hard to believe Matt Kenseth, this deep in the season, has not won a race. And heard from the TV broadcast that Kenseth, and this is starting to wear on him, not winning this race, not winning a race this year. And, you know, this doesn't get any easier going to Talladega and not knowing your fate going in. And he's the first driver out right now. Kansas finished in 11th spot, the next playoff driver would be Brad Keselowski, actually Ricky Stenhouse, who rallied for a top 15 finish, finished 13th. Then Brad Keselowski in the 15th in a bad effort from the two team. All this talking going on with Toyota, he better start worrying about his own performance if he's going to get passed the round of 12. I mentioned Keselowski and how good he is. He dominated 3/4 of the race, this race last year before blowing up. Keselowski, all this talking, you know, trying to get in the minds of these drivers, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Cole Pearn. Better start worrying about your performance, man. And he has a chance to advance himself for a win, you know, with Kansas looming. And he's not really that good at Kansas, Brad Keselowski, looking at next week just teeny bit. But Keselowski, you know, opportunity, you know, with Ricky Stenhouse, you know, only one can win. So it's gonna be a wild race here on Sunday, I guarantee you that. And of course, we look at Kyle Busch, the final playoff driver, and a scary moment with him. Kyle Busch, who finished 29th in this race, who kind of was wrecking all over the place this weekend, started Friday, hit the wall, turn 4, did not go to a backup car, so the crew ended up getting that straightened out a little bit. Then Sunday, with the humidity, Kyle Busch was dealing with that, and then tacked the wall again in, I believe, stage 2 when he tacked the wall, and that's when his race went down the drain. Kyle Busch and then caused a couple more cautions to come out, hit the wall again, dealing with the heat and all that. Now it's kind of a major issue as well with the heat and all that other stuff. Kyle Busch, after this race, was laying on the ground there, tending to with medical team attending to him a little bit there, but he was all right there. So thankfully, Kyle Busch, you know, just going back to a couple years ago in his championship run, injuring his ankles, breaking his leg or something like that. And you know where I'm going with that. Winning the championship on a roll, wins the championship a couple years ago, dealing with a little bit of a heat stroke there, but he's all good now, and he's deep in the, even though he's still in, he better be careful as well. So again, Talladega is going to be a big fate for somebody here, maybe a few drivers here down the road on Sunday. If they do not escape the big one, we're definitely gonna have something to talk about, that is for sure. But who we're going to be talking about, who's going to be needing to win, that's going to be the real question moving forward. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to take our first time out on the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. Rolling along on this Thursday, getting set for a wild, all caps, wild weekend at Talladega. No, it's not the elimination for the cup race, but for the trucks, it is. We'll break that down a little later on in the show. But coming after the break, we will look at the bottom four who will need to make something happen or trying to stay out of trouble going into the round of 12 Talladega race this weekend. And, of course, we're going to talk Xfinity. Alex Bowman, who's made news pretty much all year long off the field, make some news on it. Yeah, you're listening to the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. And we're going to go with a social media update, Facebook.com/EG3show and Twitter handle at the EG3 show. Again, Twitter handle at the EG3 show, even though it has been quiet. Excuse me. Over the last kind of week there, but as we will work on that, so don't worry about that. Okay, now it's time for our break. Alex Bowman, bottom four, next EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. You're listening to Toby Mac right there with the music. EG3 show rolls along here on KCSportsRadio.com and JPEG Sports Network. Eddie Greer for the EG3 show, which is all about the world of NASCAR, what's going on right now. Talladega this weekend for the Camaro Truck Series, who will be racing on Saturday afternoon. We'll be giving those times after behind the wheel in a Cup Series Sunday, a critical race. You thought Charlotte was really big because of the Talladega factor, the biggest unknown, where you're going to escape those wrecks or not. We have seen wreck fest throughout the year with these restrictor plate race, and I don't believe when Sunday rolls along, I believe that's not going to change. I believe this might be the wildest run yet to decide, you know, somebody's fate to who will move on or who will make the big upset and keep the rest of the playoff drivers at bay. The bottom four going in to the race, this race on Sunday: Matt Kenseth, who is trailing by a point over Jamie McMurray, who has the final spot right now going into that race. This thing is going to be jumbling all over the place. Brad Keselowski, who is -4. I talked about him in the first segment. He has great success at Talladega, obviously. Multiple wins. And he has the opportunity to get in and keep his hopes alive. Obviously, you know, think about he and Denny Hamlin. The fact that Martinsville is out there, that's a golden opportunity for those teams. But they have to get past Talladega and Kansas first. Before they even think about that, and on top of that, get a W in one of the next two races to secure a spot in the round of eight. And that's all. I am so pumped up for next weekend. I got a lot of stuff going on, but this elimination race out, we're gonna see. Woo! This is gonna be something else to decide who goes in to the next round and who is left in the dust. We might have a big name or two be left out in the cold because a couple of these drivers do not perform in KC very well. One of those is Brad Keselowski, in my opinion. The next one, he was up front in the night race at Kansas. That was Ryan Blaney, who was in contention for his first win at that time. Got the win at Pocono, but Ryan Blaney, 7 out, but this is one of the more stronger suit tracks in his play. Ace of Spades, if you will, for Ryan Blaney. You know, he ran into finishing the top five in his first Talladega race a couple years ago. It might have been last year or the year before that. I can't really remember. It was one of those years. He was up front and stayed up front. But he's been a threat at Talladega, and I won't be surprised to see him mixing up front. And the obvious is Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Should we leave him a favorite? Obviously, we cannot forget about Dale Earnhardt Jr., even though he's been kind of a little bit off, surprisingly, at speedways. I won't be surprised to see. I would like to see the 88 be up there in the mix, battling out with these guys and possibly playing spoiler. But another spoiler everybody's been talking about is the 17 bunch. The Stenhouse, can he get it done? And in my book, this is all or nothing for the 17 bunch. Obviously, you know, Robert Yates passed last weekend, and Ricky Stenhouse, you know, saying that they want to win this one for it would be a monumentous one to knock off the field again, sweep the races at Talladega, which is a rarity at some sorts because of the unknowns. Really, these plate tracks, you cannot set your eyes on just one thing because a lot of things can happen in a course of a lap. You can be up front, leading the lap. Next thing you know, you can get passed and be back in 10th, 12th position. So, Ricky Stenhouse, the obvious factor in this thing. He's pretty confident. And, I don't blame him one bit. Because he has the opportunity to win 3 of the 4 races. That's pretty special for this team, and this, I believe this is one of the other surprises this year, and then he getting to the second round of the postseason. Got to make some noise. Well, opportunity starts right here. Oh, by the way, let's not forget Stenhouse, sat on the pole in the Lone Tiger race. I would probably say the spring race. Yeah, but early this year, the first time we're at Talladega, yes, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. sat on the pole, and he stayed up in the top five throughout the day. So, if anything that changes, Stenhouse is going to have a strong horse. Well, I mean, we'll see. You're going to have other cars to deal with, and Kyle Busch, those two drivers are battling out at the end of this race this week. Went to overtime in the spring / summer race. I don't know what happened there. Stenhouse put a move on Kyle Busch, but I guarantee you, betcha something goes down. I bet you blocking is going to happen on Sunday because it's all on the line. A trip to the round of eight, you get that much closer to possibly put your name in the final four. A lot of things are at stake. You have a chance here to get some points here as well. So the stage points are going to be critical. That's the bottom four right here in the EG3 show heading in to Talladega. I kind of been crisscrossing, crossover remix, if you will, with Talladega and Charlotte and even Kansas as well. So kind of doing a 3-1, if you will. So pretty impressive deal. Xfinity Series, their field is cut to 8. And Alex Bowman putting the 42 car, Chip Ganassi Xfinity car, in victory lane, keeping the Xfinity players who are still in the postseason winless here so far in the postseason. Incredible. And two of these wins coming from the 42 bunch. Tyler Reddick at Kentucky, and now you're going to add Alex Bowman's name to the list. Alex Bowman's going to post be running another one, and I believe, if I'm mistaken, it could be a Phoenix, where he said he was still haunted by not finishing a deal at Phoenix last year. He could have been the upset player, but we all know what happened toward the end of that race when things got out of hand a little bit with 88 Bowman in the middle of that mess. So Alex Bowman's still kind of motivated from a missed opportunity there, but which we all know by now, will replace Dale Earnhardt Jr. at the end of this year. And made a big statement, a big breakthrough win for Alex Bowman. We might see a couple more here. Well, actually one more before he sets his sights on 2018. The leading playoff driver. And again, how about Brendan Poole? The 48 team for the second race of the playoffs is the leading playoff driver. He finished runner-up at Kentucky, and Brendan Poole is becoming a huge player in the playoffs, and he's moving on to the next round. So this 48 team better not be slipping too much. Cole Custer, 6th. Daniel Hemric, 7th. Matt Tiff, who is advancing, 9th. Elliott Sadler, 10th. Brendan Gaughan, who is not advancing, thanks to Ryan Reed, who finished right behind him. These two are separated by 2 points coming into this race. Again, for those of you who did not watch the race, this race was moved to prime time thanks to the rain that played huge dividends with this race last Saturday. But thank kudos to NASCAR as well. They got it in and they got it done. Ryan Reed moves on. Brendan Gaughan does not. William Byron, shaky first round, 16th. But again, he's moving on to the next round. And he has to do better if he's going to make it to the round of, the final four at Homestead. Justin Allgaier, another dismal finish, 33rd in this race. Jeremy Kmetz was also eliminated, 20th. Blake Koch, who was eliminated as well. Not a good ending to his playoffs after transferring to the round of eight last year. Deep in the field, finished in 33rd position. So now we can take a look at the standings. Now it resets, and their opening round of the round of eight begins next week at Kansas, while the elimination race at Cup next week. So a lot of exciting things going on, like I talked about. So we and Byron back up top, but lead is at 3 to his teammate Allgaier. And we and Byron, I don't know what happened in the first round, but 16th's not going to really cut it if he's going to try to move on in and avenge his missed opportunity last year. Remember William Byron winning 7 races, and he's kind of on that, well, Truex is on that Byron run, almost there, got to get one more, but Byron had all those wins and did not make it to the round of the Final Four last year. Going to have to do better than finish in the 18-16 spots, that's for sure. Sadler, the Junior Motorsports trio up there, 1, 2, 3, and then you have Daniel Hemric, Cole Custer, Bryn Poole, Ryan Reed, and Matt Tiff. Those drivers will advance. And speaking of Matt Tiff, Matt Tiff will be going over to Richard Childress Racing next year, joining Daniel Hemric, who the week before re-signed with Richard Childress Racing. So that's a good tandem right there for Richard Childress Racing next year. That's going to be pretty good. And Matt Tiff being very close to winning, and so has Daniel Hemric. You're listening to the EG3 show right here on JPEG Sports Network, KCSportsRadio.com. Eddie Greer in the building, get you set for Talladega and getting the Xfinity Series set for Kansas Speedway, which, again, like I said before, like I said a few times already, we will be there for those races. It's going to go down, and whoever wins this race, especially somebody in the playoffs, they're going to get a ticket to Homestead. That is guaranteed. We get this much closer. Kansas, I believe, then Texas. They don't have to worry about Martinsville so much. So Kansas, Texas, and Phoenix for the Xfinity Series 8. And then, of course, it was decided the Final Four. And at this rate, it might be decided on points, because we ain't had no playoff driver in the Xfinity Series win a race yet. Well, that it could change next weekend. So with all the marbles on the table, we'll see what happens. And Sadler, Allgaier is still alive. The contenders from last year's Final Four are still alive in this mix. Again, Byron, this number one seed going into this thing, finishing in Kentucky these mile and a halves, uncharacteristically in the 15-ish positions. Going to have to do a lot better. We know he can win. Question is, can he respond and get it done? We know they've had some issues affect them a little bit, but they have not been on top of their game. That's going to have to change for sure if they're going to be participant in the Final Four next month. EG3 show right here on JPEG Sports Network, KCSportsRadio.com. Camping World Truck Series. We know where they're going to be at, right there in Alabama on Saturday afternoon. It's going to be a good race. Christopher Bell, Ben Rhodes locked into the next round. And then you have Matt Crafton, Johnny Sauter, Chase Briscoe, Austin Cindric is the last driver right now locked in. Plus 8 on Cass Grall, and John Hunter Nemechek has got some work to do as well. Just over 10 points for him. So 6 drivers for 4 more spots. And John Hunter Nemechek is another race away from not missing the next round again. So, but hey, a win could change all of that in the fate of a couple of drivers. So these guys, this is going to be a go hard race. It always is. And you, again, the big one. Knock on wood, the big one is going to be a key factor in this whole thing. We'll see what happens. It's going to be one. It's going to be another one of those races of the year that we're going to remember and say, you know, it changed the fate of somebody getting in and somebody not moving on. Fred's 250, powered by Coca-Cola, Talladega Super Speedway, going to go down Saturday, 12:30 Eastern Time. That means it's going to be 11:30 early start here in the central time zone of Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas. And you know where I'm going with that one as well. And then take a look at Talladega in the Cup side. Second race of the round of 12. Martin Truex Jr. is locked in. to the round of eight. Who's going to be next? Or will we have an upset winner? Alabama 500. 1 o'clock Eastern Time. The race is going to start around just after 1:30 Eastern Time. That means 12:30 Central Time. When the green flag waves, it's going to be hell breaking loose from the get-go. You got stage points. You can't ride around in the back. We said this last year on the podcast, and I was not happy. A majority of us were not happy with the strategy played out with Joe Gibbs Racing. All three of the drivers did move on, but they just sat in the back. But with the points, especially when you look at it now, Kenseth, let's see, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin is, I believe, it's okay right now. Well, not okay, but he won't be okay when the race starts. You won't be doing that because there's stage points on the line, and people are going to try to get them, especially the playoff points. And also, drivers that we don't see very often could end up there wrecking havoc as well with these guys too. So a lot of chess pieces will start to flow once this green flag drops. This is going to be a nail biter for a couple big name drivers. Larson, Kyle Busch, the big three. One of the big three is already in there. There's a Truex. Doesn't have to worry as much, you know. But the rest of the field probably will. Harvick, Hamlin, all those guys are in play. So we'll see who comes out of the Godzilla mouth alive, or who's gonna ship is sinking after this race. It comes to a close when a checkered flag falls. It's gonna be a tremendous race, and can't wait to see what unfolds here on Sunday afternoon, folks. It's time to get to the behind the wheel right here on the EG3 show. We're going to go all scan behind the wheel Charlotte, folks. You're going to hear all the, if you haven't been listening all year, you're going to hear all the drivers. And this is via NASCAR Race Hub that put this on for Radioactive. So this is one of my favorite segments of the show, out of both shows really, but yes, my favorite show and my favorite part of the show as well. So okay, folks, getting down to it, EG3 show, going to go down behind the wheel and listen to Martin Truex Jr. overcome a bad starting position to score in my opinion, the biggest win to this point of his career. You're listening to the EG3 show here on KCSportsRadio.com.
Race number one in round two of the playoff. You win it, you've made the Elite Eight.
All right, man. Solid first round. Got us to this point. Now it's time to prove that we're one of the best eight in the garage. Have fun with this thing and get up there where we belong.
Stood true. It's like, go win this thing. Fight hard all day. Have fun.
Forward to a great day. Get the second round started with a nice solid finish. Some stage points.
Hey, guys. High heat index today. Make sure you guys are staying hydrated, staying fresh.
Green flag is waving. Pole sitter Denny Hamlin gets a good start.
20's a little trouble there. 20's in the tires.
Black is just a little bit of front grip through the center.
Just sucking traffic. That screwed their start. That also won the race for enough.
You gotta go more than two. It is really loose.
You touch the throttle three and four. It's so rough. I'll spin out. It's like shaking my eyeballs out.
Put it out. This is from the competition yellow.
Fans off. All four below the orange box.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, right here.
5, 4, 3, free helmet.
You missed it.
All my fault, sorry.
Ready?
Ready?
Trouble on the backstretch. One car's around. It's Ryan Newman.
Man, check up, check up, check up.
Right side, guys.
Both sides.
We're done. You got fire on the right front.
All clear, 11 with you.
Kevin Harvick is going to comfortably win stage one.
I know. Let's just move the on. I just need a little better tire pressure and I'll do better.
Calm down, pal. I'm trying to help.
Not calm, but the slightest bit in the car right now, so I'm trying.
Kyle Busch loses the car.
Caution. KB just got in the fence.
Toes knocked the out of it. It's still.
Yeah, Gregor needs a lot of work.
Toes off one click, steering wheel to the left. Same as practice. We'll make minimum speed, and then we'll come back and get tires while we can.
All the tape on the deck lid, stacking all that shit up, just taking it off.
You focus on driving that damn thing, you hear me? We'll focus on fixing it. We're going to run all these laps.
I'm just trying to help you so we can go forward, okay? Forward. You want to keep going backwards? I'll make sure of that.
Nine more, go get this one.
We're still a couple of seconds quicker than minimum speed, so no need to push any harder.
I need a bag of ice so I can stuff it down my jacket. I picked up about 100 degrees in here. I might get sick.
Green checker here, good job.
Green and white checkered flag for Kevin Harvick. Chase Elliott next in line.
Get in front of you, racing like heck, in front of you.
Thought these guys all race like gentlemen.
No, I don't think so.
My burn up bad right now. I had to use it up and get through some of these guys bad.
38 on the top up there. Stay way low.
Lock it down right there.
Slow down.
I can't slow down in the turn like that. Wow, we got lucky.
Oh, we did. That was pure talent.
I clocked up on the right front.
I'm going to need some medical attention afterwards. I'm going to need air and ice. Full water.
Turning in.
Ready.
Stop. Damn it.
Take it off, folks. We're going to have another opportunity here. Shake it off.
I just put in all the... I don't need any more laps, Tom. Just trying to keep this piece of out of the fence.
That was a favor. I can just spin it for us. That's all for it. For all the dumb people listening, that was a joke.
Good job. Deep breath. Get that 21.
Come on.
I mean, really?
Think we got debris in 3. No yellow yet.
Debris in 3 and 4 are by. And NASCAR can't see that they're blind.
He's got debris all on the track. 18 car, no caution yet.
He burned his shit up, he's fighting loose.
Watch that smoke up first 18 on the apron, all good.
Caution's out, debris in 3.
An easy win for Martin Truex Jr. has now turned into a battle of pit road.
All right, we got a shot, boys. We're back in the game, Jimmy.
Time for a little redemption, guys. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Watching the dash off of pit road, it is going to go to Martin Truex Jr. 4, not a good stop. Denny Hamlin's crew did a great job. He's going to line up in the second position.
Will you ask the 78 if they'll let me have the bottom? I'll get to the spot.
11 says he'll let you in if you take the top.
Sorry about 42, you know?
That's 10-4. Let's keep the bottom. Too much on the line.
So the green flag is displayed. We're back to racing at Charlotte. Only a caution flag could cost Martin Truex Jr. the race. Kurt Busch is spinning off turn 2.
Stay in it.
Comes out. It wanted to spin over turn 2, Mark.
Venture's in just a little bit. It'll be okay.
Gonna be a green-white checker.
Truex once again with a great restart. Denny Hamlin not able to keep front row pace with Martin Truex Jr. That gives the second position to Chase Elliott.
White flag. Give me one more, baby. Nice and smooth, baby. Get your mark in here. I hear you, my brother. Fix your lane today. Nice job, Martin Truex Jr.
Booyah!
I hear you, brother. Work your ass off for that one. Congratulations.
Ask him for medical, like, reasons here.
Hey, you gotta get a medic to pit stall 43. How the f*** they get there?
Medical crews are now going to his aid.
That was an awesome day, boys.
I didn't think there was any way we'd win this race at the start, man. You guys are the best.
EG3 Show, closing in on the end of today's episode. KCSportsRadio.com, JPEG Sports Network, Eddie Greer. That was pretty much, Bob listed about maybe 20 drivers in that little segment there. So, again, Martin Truex Jr. wins the Bank of America 500 in overtime and cashes in a spot to the round of eight, which will begin in Martinsville in a few weeks. But we have unfinished business with Talladega and then Kansas. Number of the week to wrap up today's show here on the EG3 show. And back to the 7-8, Martin Truex Jr., the king of mile halves. Well, almost for a year. Martin Truex Jr. now has 5 wins on mile halves. That ties him with Carl, yo boy, old backflip, Carl Edwards, who won 5 races back in 2015. He is tied with him for the most mile half wins in a season, and he still has Kansas, Texas, and Homestead to go. I'm going to save that bet for possibly later, but the way that Truex, Pern, and this team is clicking, even with the bad start, watch out. That's all I'm going to say. And then anyone who's talking about Kyle Larson winning at Homestead, you better not bank on that just yet. So 7-8 could have something to say about that at the end of the season when it gets down to business. The other number, 3. I said it earlier in the first segment. Chase Elliott. 3 of the first 4 races, finishing 2nd. He is on the verge of something big, and that big is a victory. And he kind of is like Kyle Larson, you know. All these second place finishes and no wins, and finally gets that win. And then look at what Kyle Larson has been able to do since then. Been able to win. So, a lot of races. So, Chase Elliott just this close to cashing in. But the king, ransom of these mile and a halves, Martin Truex Jr., a total 360. He is in after being eliminated last year. He is in the round of 8. Who will be next to put their name in the round of 8? Who will escape the Big Rex coming out of Talladega? EG3 show is a wrap this week here on KCSportsRadio.com. Eddie Greer saying thanks for listening to today's episode and enjoy the races this weekend. Folks, the unknown. What's the unknown going to be? And oh, by the way, the winner I'm going to pick? Well, I'm going to just stay with it. Chase Elliott. I think he can pull it off and get the job done and make a huge impact. He's already made a big impact, and he's going to make a stamp, put a stamp on it, and put himself into the round of 8. Folks, it's been a pleasure. EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com, JPEG Sports Network. Have a good weekend, y'all. Peace out.